Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com to start winning.
Blue Wire.
It's exciting to win money.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Is there anything you don't gamble on?
Not really.
Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Gambling's not your problem. You're just an idiot.
And we welcome you into Full Slate, a Blue Wire gambling podcast. My name is Greg Frank, back after we wrap up week three and get you set for week four. Never too early to start looking at those openers for week four. And we're going to start doing something on a weekly basis here on Full Slate as our good friends at WynnBET, who are, as you hear every pod as we get started, we have an ad from Wynn every podcast, and they hooked us up with their guy, digital content and brand ambassador, Joe Fan, at Joe_Fan with two N's on Twitter. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us, and how you doing? How was your week three?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. It's been a wild start to this season. You know, I've taken a couple of L's so far, but you know what? It makes it fun because I feel like right now it's just pure chaos. During my Monday Night Football, I always put together my weekly power rankings that come out on Tuesday morning, and it just sort of feels like you're throwing darts because you could make a case for so many different lists, and that's the fun of it. We're 3 weeks in, and everybody but two teams has a loss.
Yeah, and, you know, to that end, I'm curious, like, give us a little sneak peek here in terms of what you're seeing through 3 weeks, who you're liking, who's maybe a little under the radar, who's maybe a little fraudulent, anything really stand out in either direction?
Yeah, I think if, you know, Dolphins fans see my power rankings, they'll probably be annoyed to see them still behind the Bills, even though they just beat them head-to-head. I just, you know, it was so different than when you saw the Bills beat the Rams in week one, and it was dominant, and it was unquestionable who the better team was, where it feels like everything sort of had to go right for Miami.
Buffalo dominated the box
score. Yeah, I mean, 497 yards to 212, 31 first downs to 15. I'm not taking the win away from Miami. It's a great win. They're number three on my power rankings, but I still have the Bills at number two, behind the Eagles at number one. Who have been the most impressive team in football to me. That offense is every bit as prolific as we thought it might be with A.J. Brown coming over from the Titans in that trade during the draft. And Jalen Hurts looks like a bona fide star at this point, where every single week has been a bad week for his haters out of the gate. So that way they are an easy choice now that the Bills have a loss to be the number one spot in the power rankings.
Well, I'm not sure if you could tell by the phone number I was texting you from to get you on, but I grew up in southern New Jersey. That was a South Jersey area code, 10 miles across the bridge from Philly. So I love hearing that. I was a Jalen Hurts guy in the offseason, wanted him to get a shot. So anytime you want to say anything good about the Eagles, I'm not going to stop you.
There's a lot of good things to say. You know, I think the one frustration you might have had through 2 weeks was that Hassan Reddick hadn't done a whole lot, and he comes back with a sack and a half in week three. So yeah, man, it's really, really good time to be an Eagles fan. That team is a whole lot of fun. And when you have one of the best home field advantages in all of football, the link is going to be rocking all season long. And all of a sudden in week four, you look at the Jags coming to town as that's one of the marquee games of the slate.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that'll definitely be interesting. And real quick, before we get to the openers for week four, I do want to ask you about, you know, speaking of the Eagles elsewhere in the NFC East, the game we just saw conclude. The Cowboys now go to 2-0 in 2022 under Cooper Rush, and he's proven to be a guy that can hold it down for them and somebody that, you know, dating back to that start in primetime last year in Minneapolis against the Vikings, continues to just prove that, as I said, he can hold it down and do the job in the absence of Dak Prescott. The Cowboys get the win coming from behind there to do it. And the Giants, I mean, listen, I don't know how you felt about them after two games. I thought that it was, you know, good for them for pulling out a couple close games. I still had my concerns and questions about if they were a threat season long to perhaps sneak into the playoffs, and you know, for them to let that slip away wasn't a huge surprise for me. I think the Cowboys, quite honestly, are just a better team, and their defense is playing really well, and Rush is kind of playing mistake-free football. So how did you see that Monday night game play out?
You know, I sort of feel bad for Daniel Jones. You know, yeah. I think he kept the team alive with his legs, 9 carries, 79 yards, and Saquon Barkley all the way back. Certainly that defense has pieces that you feel really good about. But, you know, Kadarius Toney, is he ever going to be a consistent contributor for this team? Can't stay healthy, sort of a head case. Kenny Golladay is stealing money from that organization on a week-to-week basis. There's just no reason Sterling Shepard should be getting 10 targets a game in 2022. Coming off the injury that he was coming off of. And now unfortunately, that last play of the game, just brutal to see him go down with another non-contact knee injury. Feels so bad for that guy. I just don't think, you know, the offensive line can't block a competent front seven. We saw that again. Even though the Cowboys had one of the best pass rushes in all of football, it wasn't good from New York. Daniel Jones running for his life. I credit Daniel Jones for what he did in this game, to be honest with you. He made some big-time throws, and there were a lot of drops from his receivers. Then with Cooper Rush, yeah, I mean, all you want out of a backup is to not lose you games. Manage the game, hit the open man, don't take egregious sacks, and take care of the football. And he has done that in all three of his starts. He's 3-0 as a starter with one last year coming against the Vikings. And his production could have been bigger. There were some big-time drops from his receivers tonight. Sure. You know, if you look at CeeDee Lamb, most notably, who atoned for the big drop in the first half with that dominant drive, including the one-handed touchdown late in that game. But I think Cooper Rush has really been everything more than the Cowboys could have hoped for thus far.
All right, let's get into some of these week four games of intrigue and the opening lines. Over at WinBet, Thursday Night Football is one that I think will certainly have a lot of eyeballs on it, given, as you said, the Miami Dolphins are the lone unbeaten in the AFC, traveling to Southwest Ohio to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals, I'm happy I got this at -3 because they're out to 3.5 at WinBet, a total of 47.5. And I guess a little bit of early money on Cincinnati stemming from maybe some of the Tua Tagovailoa injury concerns on a short week. And Cincinnati obviously looked more like the reigning AFC champs, albeit against the Jets. But the Bengals got a much needed win on Sunday.
Yeah, it's an important caveat, and the Bengals should be 3-0, losing to the Cowboys. I don't care how well Cooper Rush is playing. That was a travesty of a game. And again, when you want to talk about trying to block anybody, you know, the Bengals have had an issue with that going back to last year. They somehow made the Super Bowl despite not being able to pass protect in any way, shape, or form. And so far, the early returns on their offseason investments on that offensive line have not been good. I think it makes sense. Anytime you have a short week, you always favor the home team, especially in a game that otherwise would be close. You know, you have 3.5. If this game was in Miami, it probably is 3 points to the Dolphins side. So it should be a really good game. Mike McDaniel, I think they're already ready to build a statue in South Beach for him. He's just brought such a level of competency and creativity to that offense, maximizing Tua's strengths, hiding the weaknesses. The big mistakes haven't been there from Tua. And then, you know, maximizing the speed he's got at his disposal with Raheem Mostert, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Chase Edmonds. They've been a ton of fun so far. So 3.5, the movement makes sense to me. But I don't know if I'm ready to just buy in on the Bengals being back just because they had an easy win against the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I still think there's a whole lot more I'd like to see from them. And I think Miami, especially defensively, they've been finding ways to keep teams out of the end zone despite giving up a bunch of yards. I think this is going to be a great game and one I really can't wait for. It's really the second time in 4 weeks we've gotten a marquee game on a Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. I want to ask you next about the London game. First London game of the year sees the Minnesota Vikings taking on the New Orleans Saints. And this, I believe, opened at 3 and has been bet down a tad to off the key for New Orleans at now +2.5 as the dog on the neutral field, total at WinBet sitting at 44 in this one. And I think this is interesting because – you have a couple of first-time head coaches with their respective teams. Of course, Dennis Allen had that cup of coffee with the Raiders that didn't go so well. But anytime you have new coaches making the London trip, I always think that's kind of another layer here in terms of the logistics of the trip. Minnesota grinds one out, no cover, against the Detroit Lions in week three. What do you make of these two teams? Obviously, New Orleans, particularly on offense, is reeling.
I think both teams have major question marks on offense. And I think Minnesota winning that game, putting up 28 points, feels like a bit of deception, because I think when you watch that game, Kirk Cousins rarely looks comfortable. Again, talk about an offensive line that has struggled to protect. The Vikings are in that category. They got embarrassed on Monday night in week two against Philly, and really lucky to win this game against Detroit, where, in my opinion, watching that game, they got outplayed for damn near the entire four quarters. So the issue with New Orleans is that Jameis Winston has turned back the clock to 30 interception 2019 version of himself in Tampa Bay. He's already got five picks on the season. So, you know, there's a lot of empty calories with the passing yards that he's racking up. And it's been bad. You know, I think you look at week two against the Bucs, when their defense pitches a shutout in the first half, and all of a sudden they're down by two scores in the second half because he keeps giving the ball away. Major issues there. Alvin Kamara hasn't been getting going. He's been really quiet dealing with the rib injury. You know, you love what you see so far from Chris Olave, and Mike Thomas has been mostly productive. But I think these are just two quarterbacks that I don't feel comfortable betting on either of them going into this game. I think if anything, I would lean under 44 in London, because I feel like fans at Wembley Stadium, I don't know where this game is. It might be Wembley. It might be the new Spurs Stadium. But regardless, I feel like they're normally treated to poor football games. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this one's ugly as well.
Well, speaking of ugly, I kind of want to get your thoughts on this game. Not that it's one of the marquee ones by any stretch, but given what we saw from the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars, certainly cause for concern already for the Chargers. Usually it's late in the season when things go awry for the Bolts, but here they're now 1-2, and the injuries have piled up already for the Chargers, with Justin Herbert playing through the rib problems, and now Rashawn Slater, we get the news of their all-pro left tackle, going to miss the rest of 2022. Joey Bosa is week to week, so it certainly doesn't look like we'll see him. It's a steep price to lay with an injured team in the Chargers going to Houston. 5.5 points, this has been bet down. I believe there were a lot of sixes and six and a halves out there. 5.5 right now at WinBet, a total of 45. And while it is a steep price, I mean, the Texans look like they may be the worst team in the National Football League, or at least one of them, having just lost to Chicago. So what do you make of the Chargers' struggles, and particularly this number at 5.5?
I mean, I'm going to just every year go down with the ship on the Chargers. I believe in them every year, and I know the second I stop betting them, they will figure it out. But this is a cursed franchise. I don't know any other way to put it. And it's amazing how quickly the shine has worn off the star of Brandon Staley, where he was once, just a short time ago, the NFL's boy wonder. Not so much anymore. The Herbert injury is concerning. They lost to Houston last year. But yeah, you lose Joey Bosa for several weeks, Rashawn Slater for the year, Keenan Allen has been out, Mike Williams for two of the 3 weeks of the season has just been doing cardio, hasn't been productive at all. Yeah, I think I look at +5.5 as potentially a number I want to take with Houston, or I just stay away from the game altogether. But I don't know how you can lay 5.5 on the road with LA and feel confident about it at all. They got embarrassed by the Jags, and I do think the Jags are legit. I think they have a very good chance of being a playoff team or remaining in the playoff picture. Certainly in the AFC South, it's such a bad division. They could potentially win that unless the Colts really figure things out. But yeah, I mean, the Chargers, I'm just not laying that 5.5, period, I guess is a long-winded way of saying that. I think there's just too many issues there. And even the game they won in week one, and then in week two, the air yards aren't there. Everything's a check down. Everything's short and intermediate. They're not pushing the ball downfield. When you have a golden-armed quarterback like Justin Herbert, it just makes you wonder what the game plan is, or if maybe he's just not seeing what's there for him. You know, but regardless, something's going wrong. It's amazing what can happen over the course of six quarters of football, because at halftime against the Chiefs, they dominated that first half, and I'm sitting there saying, I knew it. This is the year for the Chargers. Here they go. And then a 99-yard pick six and a Justin Herbert injury later, and then four ugly quarters against the Jaguars. Now all of a sudden we're wondering if their season is over. So It's pretty grim. They desperately need it. They might get it. They probably will. But I don't think I'm banking on them beating the Texans or covering 5.5 points against the Texans on the road.
Couple more early games before we touch on some of the late games here as we're joined by Joe Fan from WinBet here on Full Slate. Joe, probably the marquee game of the week in the National Football League sees the Buffalo Bills make the trip to Charm City to take on the Baltimore Ravens. Buffalo laying 3 and the hook at WinBet right now. Total appears to have been bet down from, I believe there were a lot of 54 and a halves out there. WinBet right now laying 52 on this total. And, I mean, I think it's easy for me to look at this and say, let me grab that hook and take the home dog with the Baltimore Ravens. However, given everything we just talked about with the Buffalo Bills and how that game ended in South Beach and Ken Dorsey wanting to curse everybody off there in the press box, something tells me the Bills might be out for blood here and ready to make a statement. But again, Baltimore certainly with a nice response after the blow, choking the game away against Miami in week 2, going up to Foxborough and beating the Pats. So what do you make of this clash between two AFC elites?
Yeah. Nothing happened, and I think I already sort of mentioned this, nothing happened in Miami that is any cause for real concern for Buffalo, in my opinion. The injuries are concerning, but Micah Hyde didn't play in the game to begin with. So in terms of just what actually transpired on the field in Miami, fluky game kind of, and they largely just lost the game they should have won against a very good team. I agree with you. I would lean Bills here, or maybe, you know, maybe buy a half point to get it to 3 and just avoid yourself the painful beat on a last second field goal where they win by 3. But I do think they're the better team. The Ravens have already dropped one at home against Miami. This is Baltimore's chance for their first signature win of the season. Being the Jets and the Patriots isn't impressing me. I'm a fader of the Patriots. Even going into the season, I wasn't buying them. I think they overachieved egregiously a year ago. And we saw that in the playoffs when they got the break speed off them by the Bills. I hope this is going to be a really good game. This is, I think, in my opinion, the best game on the Sunday slate, along with the Jags and Eagles, and then maybe the Bucks and the Chiefs in the Sunday night game is probably the number one spot there. But, I would definitely lean Bills here. I think, like you mentioned, it's hard to go down narratives you can't back up statistically of, oh, they're going to come in motivated and they're out for blood. Right. I think there is something to that when good teams lose in poor fashion. There's just an extra layer of refocusing and foot on the gas mentality. And I would lean taking them. I want to see if this total dips anymore and then maybe consider taking the over there, because we've seen the explosives from the Ravens passing game. I think Lamar Jackson leads the league in passing yards. Rashad Bateman, a guy who can take the top off a defense. And then I think the Bills, just the tempo they run with, it's all pass, very little run. And so I think there are going to be enough possessions there to get to the over. So if it continues to dip at all, I might look at taking that.
All right, last game in the early window that I wanted to touch on is that Jags-Eagles game that we've already kind of alluded to over the course of the pod thus far. Looks like the number has been bet off the key of 7, and we're seeing the Jags catching 6 in the hook at Lincoln Financial Field, total of 48. You mentioned narratives, and not that this necessarily factors into your handicap, but Doug Peterson heading back to Philadelphia, where I'm sure he will be pleasantly received after winning a Super Bowl with the Eagles. I do think, Joe, this is a tricky spot for the Jags coming back from a cross-country trip against the Chargers, now having to go on the road again, as you mentioned, to one of the tougher home fields in Philadelphia with the way the Eagles have been playing. Certainly a test for these young Jaguars, given that how good they look right now. I think this is another order of business at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is amazing, both offensively and defensively. They rank in the top 10 in both points scored and points allowed, and then yards for and yards allowed, which is incredible. And they're number one in rushing defense. They have been a really complete team. And it's amazing. The bar was set so low for Doug Peterson by Urban Meyer that it wouldn't have taken much for Jaguars fans to feel like it was a success. But it's amazing. I use the word competency with Miami and Mike McDaniel, but certainly it applies here, where that was impossible to find a year ago under Urban Meyer. And now you add a head coach who knows what he's doing, and you've seen the steps forward from Trevor Lawrence. You've seen a defense that has been really solid. both against the pass and the run. I just think for me at home, the Eagles defense or Eagles offense is too potent, and they can beat you in so many ways. And we've seen this Eagles team be such an efficient running offense. Well, it was the passing game they couldn't stop in week three when they're playing the Commanders, and Jalen Hurts threw it all over them with Devontae Smith balling out, A.J. Brown balling out. But okay, you take one of those guys away, and then Jalen Hurts burns you with his legs. Then Miles Sanders and Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell start ripping off 5-6 yards a carry. It's just such a diverse and complete offense that I just don't know if you can shut them down for four quarters or keep pace offensively with them for four quarters. 6.5 is a big number, but them being at home, I feel pretty comfortable. Now, do you trust them enough to take them with your survivor pick? Because it's sort of a tricky week. And when I went through the survivor slate sure. to kind of build your ideal route, the Eagles in week three were a no-brainer. Well, not anymore, because the Jaguars will certainly make you sweat at least for a half, probably three quarters. And if they're covering, they might be covering late, talking about the Eagles. And you might have to look elsewhere for your survivor pick. But, yeah, this is a game I can't wait for, because if Doug Peterson is able to get the job done here and the Jaguars improve to 3-1, you're going to be talking about them as, probably a team that really is the favorites in the AFC South.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree, and it's crazy how quickly that narrative could change in just a month. You mentioned big numbers. I'm not asking you to necessarily elaborate a ton on this game, because it certainly looks ugly to the naked eye, but I'm just kind of curious, and maybe we can kind of go to the other side of the counter here and talk about how odds makers are going to price the Patriots with this Mac Jones injury right now. Obviously, with New England having to go to Lambeau Field in week four, it's a hefty point spread. The Packers are an 11-point favorite, but it's also worth noting this total is just 40 at WynnBET right now. Just what do you think the downgrade from Mac Jones to Brian Hoyer will do to the point spreads and the totals involving New England games?
You know what? I don't think it will matter as much as maybe you would think. And that's not to say I'm a doubter of Mac Jones. I just think they overachieved last year. And Brian Hoyer has been in the league long enough to where he can manage a game and, sort of keep them around if they're able to get stops. Now, doing that in Green Bay, probably not. But I think even if Mac Jones was the quarterback here, you'd say it's 8 or 9, probably. I think the Packers at home, the defense is one of the best in football. The Patriots, to me, have just been really underwhelming through 3 weeks, and their one win, an ugly win against Pittsburgh. They haven't shown me anything. I don't know. It's worth a couple of points, sure, but I don't know. I would be very curious to know what this line would be without it. I think it would definitely still be more than the touchdown, and maybe really hovering around that 8.5, 9.
Okay. Okay.
And I also could be wrong. I'm a moron. I don't know anything about anything. So, this is just an untrained opinion, certainly not an expert view or a bookmaker's view. But, I'll talk to some of our traders, because I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, because what that line would be. I feel like sometimes we see overreactions sometimes when we see backup quarterbacks come in, to the point where it almost becomes, plug your nose and, take all those points or just pass the game.
Yeah, totally. I couldn't agree more. I think we see that all the time. And I think last year, it's not just quarterbacks. I remember in Arizona, Devontae Adams was out, and the line moved to where
Thursday night game.
It swung in huge favor of the Cardinals, and then the Packers end up winning that game outright. Right. I agree with you. Sometimes it can move too much, and I might not lay the 11, because if it's 11, that's for the most part. The back door is open from the start of the game all the way till the end of the game. I think, a teaser leg to get it to 4 through 10 and 7,
sure,
potentially, or you just build your juicy money line favorite parlay as your free square. Regardless, I think that the Packers should roll in this one comfortably.
Okay. One other late afternoon game that I wanted to quickly touch on, features a couple of AFC West teams, and obviously it's funny how the AFC West was billed as this otherworldly division, and we talked about the Chargers' concerns through three games. The Chiefs lose in week three, and we see the Raiders at 0-3, albeit a trio of close games for the Raiders, but all three go against the silver and black. And then here are the Broncos, the team that everybody, I think rightfully so, has been clowning, and yet they are still a very ugly 2-1 going to Sin City. Raiders are a 2-point favorite. And I'll be honest, Joe, I kind of think this is a good spot for the Raiders to get their first win of the year, just because while the Raiders haven't won a game yet, their offense has at least been able to move the ball and get more points on the board. And I'm going to trust that offense right now than, you know, Nathaniel Hackett and whatever he is as a head coach, which doesn't look anything good. And let's just call it how it is. Russell Wilson has been bad.
He hasn't been good. The Broncos, I mean, one drive is all they needed from Russell Wilson to beat the Niners. Was it 11-10 was the final? Something bizarre.
Yeah.
This one's hard for me because I was a believer in the Raiders going into the season, and I've bet them the last 2 weeks, and they've cost me dearly. The choke job against the Cardinals was so hard to stomach, and then they just played a horrific game, and the defense remains a huge issue. I just feel like this is the same Raiders team we've been watching. Max Crosby has a couple of sacks, but Chandler Jones still doesn't have one. The secondary remains in shambles. If you're getting torched by the Titans offense, you're having a tough go of it. And I don't know. I agree with you that this should be a good spot for the Raiders. I think it ultimately will be a stay away spot for me because I don't know if I can stomach losing money 3 weeks in a row banking on Derek Carr to figure it out. But I agree. I think they're the better team.
Yeah,
and they're at home, and nothing you've seen from the Broncos offensively should you lead you to believe that they are capable of scoring points alongside any offense. But I know this is going to be, this game's got like the Raiders are up 7 in the third quarter with the ball, and Derek Carr throws like an inexplicable pick.
Yeah, and that's your turning point of the game. Yeah, that's a good point. All right.
That's where I'm at, but I think I would agree with you. I tend to agree with you that it's a good spot for the Raiders.
All right, let's just get on these primetime games before we get you out of here. Super Bowl rematch from a couple of years ago, the Chiefs and the Bucks. The Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite, total of 45 at WinBet, but it's also worth noting, monitor this all week long, with the hurricane coming through Florida, there's a possibility of this game getting moved. Jeff Darlington of ESPN reported that U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota is a possibility as the Vikings, as we alluded to earlier here, are heading to London. So I guess first off, what would that do to the point spread? And then secondly, at the numbers we're looking at right now, I know it's kind of Joe Public, but seeing the Chiefs coming off of that loss against the Colts and knowing that I still count on that offense to score a lot more. I know Tampa didn't have Mike Evans and they haven't had Chris Godwin all year long, but I just have my doubts about where Tampa's at offensively right now. I think it's a good look for the Chiefs, but again, let's see where this game plays and kind of what happens with the NFL during the week, right?
Yeah, well, they don't call me Joe Public or Joe Square for no reason. I think I would rather trust Patrick Mahomes. I think for me, there's just different teams that if I lose, all right, fine. I lost betting on Patrick Mahomes. But the Bucs offense has been bad, and I know they've been missing guys. But even if, Chris Godwin or Julio were to play, we know Mike Evans will play coming off the suspension, but you get some other of those guys back, there's no guarantee they make it through the game. This is going to be an issue that the Bucs deal with all season long. And, heck, it's been the issue for the Julio Jones for, like, the last 4 or 5 years of his career. So I would lean Chiefs here. I would love to not have to go above 4. But if they go to a neutral site, you might have to pay that.
Yeah.
And the Bucs defense is good enough to where, they'll be able to hang around. They can get a big takeaway. But right now, I think there are enough issues in Tampa Bay offensively to warrant some concern. And that's not to say they won't figure it out or can't figure it out. But I think just banking on it just because it's Tom Brady is sort of a fool's errand.
All right, Joe, last one. Monday Night Football, an NFC West clash between the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, a rematch. We mentioned a Super Bowl rematch with Kansas City and Tampa. This, an NFC championship rematch from a year ago between the Rams and the Niners. And while that one went the way of the Rams, I think it's been well documented the success that Kyle Shanahan has had head-to-head against Sean McVay. So I'll be honest, as bad as the 49ers looked on Sunday night, I'm not that surprised to see San Francisco a short 2.5-point home favorite. I think this could certainly be one of your public underdogs of the week with the Rams. And I do look at San Francisco and say, the old gambling proverb, no team's as good or as bad as they look any given week. I think the 49ers would be the side here. What do you think?
Trent Williams being out was very concerning. That's a good point. I think that's more concerning than the loss in itself in Denver. These games are always weird, man. And the NFC West is bizarre. I think I was too close to it for too long when I covered the division, both for the Niners and then later for the Seahawks as a beat reporter. The Niners have had the Rams' number. You know, Kyle Shanahan has been sort of Sean McVay's bugaboo, really until the NFC Championship game last year, where the Niners should have won. Jaquiski Tart, catches that pick that was thrown right to him. The Niners are going to the Super Bowl. So, I look at the Niners as the side I would lean here. I think the Rams have looked mostly fraudulent through the first 3 weeks, almost blowing a game late to the Falcons. They got blown out in week one at home against the Bills. And then even, you know, on the road, you give them credit for winning a divisional game on the road. That's never easy, but nothing that happened in that game makes you look at that team and say they look anything like, the defending champion versions of themselves. Allen Robinson has been mostly a non-factor for that team, just 2 catches, 23 yards against the Cardinals. Outside of his touchdown in week two, he's been really quiet, didn't have a single catch in week one. I would go Niners here because I think their formula is sort of tried and true, and we've seen it play out against the Rams on a number of occasions.
All right, so some agreement there on Monday Night Football to wrap up our week four opening line report, here on Full Slate. Joe, thanks a lot for your time. He's, again, Joe_fan with two N's on Twitter, and looking forward to doing this again.
Man, that was fun. I appreciate the invite, and look forward to more conversations in the coming weeks.
Okay, there he is again, Joe Fan here on Full Slate. My name is Greg Frank. Find me on gambling Twitter at @UndercoverGreg. And that'll do it for us here on a Monday night. You listen on a Tuesday morning. Thanks again to everybody for tuning in. And, of course, please play responsibly.